Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
This is music that Joseph Lindsley sent to us from Ukraine this morning. And Joseph, I read your tweet over the weekend. You're very familiar with the area that is under fire, aren't you?
Indeed, Bob. Good afternoon from Lviv. And before the pandemic, I went to Israel at least once or twice a year. Spent a lot of time there, and so I have many friends there. And I woke to that news via many text messages on Saturday morning. Right now, we're listening to Israel's national anthem. It's called Hativka, and actually the lyrics come from a poem by Naftali Herz Imber, who came from what used to be Austrian, the crown lands of Austria here in western Ukraine, from the city of Zolochiv, just a little bit north of Lviv. It was a big Jewish center until the Nazis destroyed the Jewish population there. So from Lviv region came the words of the Ukraine of the Israeli national anthem. And it's a song of longing for the homeland of Jerusalem. And it means the hope. Our hope is not yet lost, the hope of 2,000 years, to be a free nation in our land, the land of Zion and Jerusalem. And thinking of this today and what's happening in Israel, I took a walk this morning to the ruins of the Lviv synagogue, which was destroyed by the Nazis. And they have quotations around the ruins from the Jews of Lviv, many of whom were killed. This was the biggest Jewish city in Europe until the Holocaust. And so as I'm reading these descriptions of what happened in the Holocaust, for example, my mother had been taken. I saw everything looking out of the window. I was 12. I wasn't a child anymore. That's exactly what is happening now in Israel, what happened on Saturday in Israel. And this is, over the weekend here in Lviv, we had the Lviv Book Forum. And there were, many intellectuals from around the world gathering to talk about, moving to victory and the importance of always keeping your culture and your identity in the quest for victory. And very optimistically, there was an African poet who said, "The age of empire is over. The age of freedom is here, as long as people are willing to stand for it." And people were, on Friday here in Lviv and throughout Ukraine, people were still shaken, and they still are shaken, by what happened in Kharkiv on Thursday and Friday. The Russians targeted a funeral of a soldier, and they with precision missiles, and they killed at least 50 people at that funeral. And then just a few hours later, we see such similar scenes happening in Israel. There was a music festival in the Negev Desert, and I'm sure many of you have seen the video of how the Hamas just came in trucks and sort of dropped from the sky to terrorize these people who were at an innocent music festival. And then when I saw videos of some within some of the houses where Hamas was holding Israelis hostage, and it looked so similar to what I've seen in houses that were occupied by Russians. You see graffiti. In the case of Hamas, graffiti sprayed in Arabic denouncing the Jews. I've seen in Donbas, in now liberated villages, the same. I've seen Russian graffiti denouncing the Ukrainians. And so we see here that these maniacal people fighting against free people. And just 4 years ago, on that very day, I was in Jerusalem. But it was a festival called Simchat Torah, and it's the end of the Jewish High Holy Days. And so on Saturday, were it not for these attacks, you would have had hundreds of thousands of people in the streets throughout Israel, but especially in Jerusalem, dancing as they begin the new cycle of reading the Torah for the year. And it's such an innocent, joyful holiday. And instead of dancing in the streets, they were confined to the shelters. And everyone in Israel, because the threat has been around for such a long time, everyone has shelters in their houses. And they were confined to these shelters. I spoke with a friend in Tel Aviv who works in the emergency services, and he was racing to Jerusalem to help put out the fires. I spoke to my friends in Jerusalem. My friend Moki, who I've been to, he and his wife have had me over for Shabbat dinner many times with their children, and such a great family environment. And they were talking about how in just 3 hours, over 2,500 missiles were fired upon Jerusalem. Another friend in Israel said, the stories from the villages near the Gaza Strip are so horrendous. It's like we're in Nazi Germany. The raping and abusing, even of dead bodies, the videos are too hard to watch. And, you know, I've been actually, when I was, the last time I was in Israel in 2019, I went to that little city of Sderot, which is just 1 mile from Gaza. And as I walked through the city, I saw bomb shelters every block or so. And I was told that people had 30 seconds when the sirens sound to get to shelter. Hmm. And back then, I could not imagine living like that. Hmm. But now that I've been, for example, spent many months in the city of Kharkiv, I see how you adapt to it. And how, in a sense, it becomes normal despite the terror. But I also saw, and if you look at the images of these Israeli cities, including Sderot, 1 mile from Gaza, it was a beautiful, clean, pleasant place with green boulevards and well taken care of, a well lived in place. And just 1 mile away, you look at Gaza and it's a mess. It's just total destruction. And you see the same with Russia. If you look outside of Moscow, what we have here are two free societies with all their flaws versus two societies that are embedded in this victim mentality, and all they know is hate, and all they teach their children is hate. And if you look at, I spent also time in Palestine. I went to the West Bank. In fact, on one particular morning, I spent the morning in an Israeli settlement in the West Bank. I really wanted to see the heart of the problem. And my friends from the Jewish friends from the Israeli settlement drove me to a neutral shopping mall, and where everyone got along, actually. And then I waited there for my Christian Palestinian friends to pick me up and to bring me into Bethlehem. And what I saw and what I heard from the Christians in Bethlehem, they had no freedom of speech. And this is in the West Bank. So Gaza is a much more draconian situation. But anywhere where you're under control of the Palestinian Authority, you cannot question the authority. You cannot question the government. And there's no way that society can be healthy. That's exactly what we see in Russia. And if you look at Israel and Ukraine, they're both tolerant, vibrant democracies. Ukraine has a Jewish president, a Muslim Crimean Tatar defense minister, and a majority Christian population that's very active. Yesterday I was meeting with a nun in Lviv who was asking me if I could help her buy drones to fight the Russians. And so Ukraine is a pluralistic society. People criticize the government, even in war. They do it carefully because they know that, you know, their existence is at stake. But that's the very reason why they continue their democracy. And Israel is much the same. There are Muslims in the Israeli Knesset, in the Israeli parliament. The city of Nazareth is a mainly Arabic city within Israel. I met many Muslims in Israel who like living there because it's a free place. You do not have Jews walking freely in Hamas-controlled territory. There are no Jews in the government of the Palestinian Authority, just like there were no Ukrainian speakers or Greek Catholics in Russian society, in Russian government. And so what we really have to look at is, yes, there are flaws in democracies, and they're chaotic and messy, as we've seen in Israel with all these recent protests. But there's a fundamental sense of freedom, especially in these two countries, in Israel and Ukraine. And that's exactly what's at stake. And today I was talking with more friends in Israel. And, it's so chilling, Bob, when I heard the way they describe life today in Israel. Almost everything is closed. People are preparing, just like they were in Ukraine on February 24th, 2022. That scary, chilling day when the attack has begun. And there's a kind of a bit of calm, and you don't know what's going to happen next. People are lining up in Israel as they were in Ukraine to give blood. They're calmly going to get cash and food to prepare. Most places are closed, and it's that same chilling feeling that Ukrainians know so well. And I think, the Ukrainians stand, and for all the propaganda from Russia, Ukrainians stand firmly with the Israeli people. And that's what I see from every single person with whom I've spoken today. And in fact, President Zelensky said very clearly that Iran is the common enemy of Israel and Ukraine. It is Iran that has supplied Russia with those maniacal drones that terrorize Ukraine almost every day. And now there's plenty of evidence that it's Iran that sent the human version of those drones, those Hamas terrorists, into Israel on Saturday to terrorize that country. And so here we see, the two fiercest free nations now in the world in an existential threat to keep going.
We really appreciate your insights, Joseph, and I'm sure the Hamas attacks remind you of what Russians are trying to do to you and the Ukrainian people. Joseph, thank you again for the reporting.